the greatest comeback, I would, I'm guessing.
Okay, this was after the Civil War, leading up to the end of the Civil War.
Okay, so remember, big comeback for Truman in 1948. I would even say a bigger comeback for Lincoln in 1864. He was a sitting president. We're in the midst of a great Civil War. Yes, we'd won Gettysburg, the Union had won at Gettysburg in 1863, but there'd been massive carnage in the spring of 1864, Cold Harbor and Wilderness campaigns. Massive, that's in Virginia area, massive amounts of people dying. Everybody was tired of war. Grant was stalled outside Petersburg. He was besieging Petersburg, and the lines were like 17 miles long. And Sherman was stopped by Johnston trying to get to Atlanta. He was stalled. Everything was going poorly. Everybody was tired of war. And George McClellan, the former Union chief general, had the Democratic nomination. And he was still somewhat popular. So Lincoln himself said that, you know, as it appears right now, if the election, we're going to be beaten. And unless some great change takes place, badly beaten. I mean, we're not just going to lose. We're going to get very badly beaten. Remember this, listeners, that during the war, Lincoln wasn't that popular. He had a core group of people that were committed to him. But the abolitionists thought he was too soft. The more moderate Republicans thought he was too harsh. He couldn't win for losing. He had to hold the country together. He had to hold his own cabinet together. He had to hold the Republican Party together. He had to hold his military together. When he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, that really cost him politically. He felt it was the right thing to do, and he did it. But there were a lot of Midwestern Republicans that said, that's it. We were fighting this war to preserve the Union, not to free slaves. And that is the way it was. And it was, he was in a bad way in the summer of 1864. A couple things happened and flipped the script. Okay, one, the Democratic convention, they came out and they says, we're suing for peace on the basis of disunion. In other words, now McClellan never said that, the Democratic nominee. He didn't fully endorse it. But the country says, in other words, I mean, they took such a strong stance on that issue, the Democrats did, that it scared people. And let me just say this to listeners, I'll make a modern application here. It's like I know people that know the politics. This is what happens. In the last Republican National Committee meeting and the platform where the Republican Party this year went soft on abortion and soft on marriage. They did not come out and say life begins at conception. And a lot of the Christians say, whoa, 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 what happened here? And basically people are whispering to other people, look, we're doing that just so we can win the election. We got to moderate a little bit. Now, I know a lot of your listeners say, we're not moderating one inch on life or marriage. Well, when we get in there, we'll do what we have to do. But see, and they're still attacking President Trump for the Supreme Court, the Dobbs decision
overturned Roe v. Wade.
And threw it back to the states. President Trump is moderated and says, hey, it's a state issue. It's a state issue. That's all he's saying because he's trying to win. Okay.
Well, but technically, if you look at the Constitution, each state is technically per even Medicaid guidelines. Medicaid, government medical assistance for people of lower income, they are the ones responsible for implementing their rules, their laws regarding the spending of taxpayer dollars for Medicare.
Okay.
That's the bottom line.
Nobody cares. As you said, nobody. So few people care about the Constitution. They don't care. Oh, are you going to take a woman's reproductive rights? That's all they know. They don't understand law. They don't understand federalism. They don't understand the separation of powers, limited government. They don't understand. They don't understand it. I mean, it's just the way it is. Where it's the state, and they don't care about the Constitution and states and the relationship between the federal government, and states government. So, in 1864, the Democrats came out for peace. And a lot of people are sitting on the fence, say, "Whoa, wait a minute here. We fought all these years. We don't just want to give up that easy." So that was that hurt McClellan. And then, even more important than that, things changed on the battlefield. Listen, this is true. This is true in history. Sometimes events go way beyond our control. You really can't blame Herbert Hoover for the stock market crash and the depression. You really can't blame him. How can you blame him, right? But the country did. That's why FDR was elected president in 1932. When the economy crashed, you blame the president. That is the way it is. Okay. Now, you can't really blame Lincoln that we were stalled out, that Grant was stalled outside Petersburg and Sherman was stalled outside Atlanta. But that's what happens. But something changed. September 1st, 1864, Atlanta surrenders to Sherman. Whoa! The biggest city in the South. It was either Atlanta or Richmond. They were the two biggest cities in the South. Atlanta surrenders. Whoa! Great! Look what's happened here. Hey, we're going to win this war after all. We don't want to sue for peace. Let's finish the thing that we started that greatly changed things. And what it did, too, the Democrats really went full frontal on accusing. Says Lincoln has a black, the way they put it, the outcrop of a remote African in his ancestry. I mean, in other words, he's a black Republican, and he is for something called miscegenation. I don't even know how to pronounce the word. Or in other words, he's trying to blend the races. We're not going to have a white race and a black race. We're all going to be mulattoes. That's what Lincoln wants. Now, again, let me step back. You got to put yourself back in 1864.
Sure.
Most people today, Lincoln gets in trouble by some people because he said he wouldn't marry a black woman. And he wouldn't marry a black woman. He just wanted equal rights for blacks. But he said, "I'm not going to marry a black woman." And in this Lincoln-Douglas debates, Douglas pounded him on that. "Oh, you want to marry a black woman?" And Lincoln says, "I don't want to marry a black woman." And now today, people say, "See what a racist Lincoln was?"
Sure.
You can't understand the times. And now they're saying that Lincoln wanted to blend all the races and which was not what Lincoln wanted. He simply wanted freedom for black people. That's all there was to it. And so in the end, the election of 1864 really wasn't even close. Lincoln won. Handily, he carried every state except Kentucky, Delaware, and New Jersey. So he went with a margin of 55%. So what appeared to be doomed is came out good for Lincoln in 1864. That is in my book, in case anybody cares about my book, the greatest political comeback was 1864. And the second greatest was Truman in 1948. Now, there was some, you know, there's a lot of other things that had happened that were kind of upsets. Trump getting elected in 2016 is considered a comeback, but, you know, I don't know if we should.
I think that was because of the polls, because of the media, how they were pushing Americans into believing it was a done deal. Hillary won. I honestly think that hurt her turnout in Detroit, Chicago, a lot of major cities across the country where she didn't do as good as she should have. And I think it cost her the White House only because the base of the Democrats thought it was wrapped up. It was a done deal. I think they oversold it.
Right. You might be right. Here's another thing, another comeback, if you want to call it that. Remember after the Persian Gulf War, the approval rating of George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st president, was sky high, like 89%. Governor Cuomo from New York, Mario Cuomo, he didn't even, the big hitters in the Democratic Party didn't want to take him on because they thought it was a done deal.
Right.
Then a recession came, and a few nobodies ran for president, including a former governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton. And what happened? He ran a good campaign, and he won. He defeated.
Well, Ross Perot is the main reason that Bill Clinton won.
That, too. I mean, I'll give you that. That, too. But I'm simply saying, I mean, it's a comeback or downfall, I would suppose. It looked like early in 92, late 91, that President George Herbert Walker Bush was unbeatable. Boy, he was flying high and on the world stage in America and so on and so forth. Didn't happen, though. He lost. So, you know, politics, it flips. It can change pretty quickly. And so,
and do you remember the negative attack ad against him that helped win for Clinton?
Tell me.
Read my lips.
Oh, yes.
No new taxes.
Yes. Yes. And Clinton was able. How many times did he say this? I'll try my Southern accent. Worst economy in 50 years.
Right.
He kept telling people it was the worst economy in 50 years. You tell people things are bad long enough, and then even if they're not that bad, people start believing it. That's the nature of politics.
Well, and James Carville, at the time, his political consultant running his campaign, said, it's all about the economy, stupid.
Right.
That's what he kept telling Clinton to talk about, and he did. That's all he talked about, and that's basically what gave him, with Ross Perot's votes that went to him instead of Clinton, what was it that Clinton ended up winning? Was it 41% of the popular vote?
Yeah,
and
way
became
below
president?
50. Yes, way below 50, for sure.
Yep, absolutely. Final segment of today's discussion with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Government's invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Hey Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Folks out there that own firearms are looking to buy a new or used gun or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicki and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. I want to shift gears, unless you have something else to contribute about these comebacks. I want to talk about public schools and their test scores. I did a story yesterday, Pastor Chatfield, and they found that, as you know, they test the kids right before they go home for summer break. They usually do it in May, early June. The kids are out of school. They have the summer off. They came out with the reports about the M-STEP and other testing for the kids. Third graders, eighth graders, and 11th graders. And because of what Governor Gretchen Whitmer implemented during the China virus starting back in March of 2020, and how she shut down the public schools and they tried to teach the kids online and et cetera, et cetera. The kids are behind. And they're not testing any better. As a matter of fact, in 2023, they tested better than they did this year, 2024. Detroit Public Schools, I mean, the numbers are horrific. Reading, third grade level of reading, only 11% of the kids are proficient in reading in the third grade. Eighth graders in testing in social studies and math, 15.1%. You know, and these are the positive numbers. They're trying to spin it in these news stories. So basically, you're saying 89% of the kids can't read in the third grade. 85% of the kids in eighth grade are not proficient in math and social studies. And then at the end of the story, this is proof that we need to invest more money in order to get these kids caught up and get them able to start learning at the levels, grades that they're at. And I said to the people on the radio, and I got some feedback, I think, from some probably retired union school teachers, sent me some text messages. I'm not going to say what they said. It was pretty nasty, some of the things they said. But the point of the matter is this. You did not shut down Northern Michigan Christian Academy during the public schools shutdown, did you?
In 2020, the last quarter, we did shut down. Yes, we did. We did. But we opened back up in 2021 when others were not.
Exactly. That was my point. And here is the other thing.
By the way, can I say in retrospect, wish I wouldn't have done that. They told us it was the plague. They told us this was the plague. They told us it's 2 weeks to flatten the curve. That's what they told us. And it kept going 1 week after another week after another 2 weeks. And so next thing you know, the last quarter was gone.
Exactly. But my point is this. You are not required to test the kids according to M-STEP and these other things. Is that an accurate statement?
But we don't, correct.
Okay. Can I ask you a question as the administrator of the school, principal, whatever the title is? Why would you not want to teach to the test and have your kids tested to be able to prove your scores compared to public school scores?
Okay, one, I'm not a big, or this is a long, one, it costs money, too. I don't want to, we don't spend the money if we don't have it. It is somewhat costly. Two, the people that make the tests, especially in the social studies, it is so skewed. We teach American history, constitutionalism. when you the people for writing these tests, do you think yes. they're coming from any sort of a biblical or Christian perspective, even conservative? No, they're not. And I'm not going to.
You're saying you would have to teach the kids to be able to take the test based on the way the test is written,
yes.
which is not the premise, not the basis, mode of operandi in which you teach the kids at your Christian academy.
Right. Now, we have many times done the old standardized test, yes. But remember this, who do you think are writing these tests? It's the public system people are writing the test. And it's ironic that even when they're writing these tests, the scores are so poor in a lot of schools. Now, here's what your listeners are saying right now, Randy. I guarantee it. It's not that. We have a good public school system in our – yeah, I know downstate it's pretty bad, Randy. But we've got a good system up here. Yeah, I know. And I know my child's teacher. And she's a good teacher. And that may be true. See, that's why.
And can you explain to me why the average of the SAT scores in all of the Northern Michigan school districts is 960 out of 1600?
Well, they will simply say, yeah, but not in our school.
Bull crap.
Not at our school.
That is a bald-faced lie. It is in every single school district in Northern Michigan. I don't care if you're Otsego. I don't care if you're Roger City, Onaway, Sheboygan, Petoskey, Charlevoix, Mackinac City, St. Ignace. Every single district is below 1,000 on SAT scores. That's a fact.
Okay. All I'm saying is our listeners are saying, yeah, it's bad every place else, but, you know, it's just too much for me in my situation. And I do appreciate you. I listen to you. You know, hey, time has come to remove your children from the public system. But they've been in the public system so long. They went to this local public school. Their father went to this local public school. Their son's on the football team or the basketball team. We're going to remain loyal. That's the culture that we at Northern Michigan Christian Academy fight against.
And we, of course, know the famous saying by Albert Einstein, insanity is defined as keep doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results.
Right, right.
Bottom line, give the church, the Christian Academy a call, 231-548-2216. Go talk with Pastor Chatfield. We'll see you on the radio on Sunday, sir.
Oh, amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels.